Okay, that motion passed. How much time do we have left? Lyndon?
Alex, this is Paulina. You're about 18 minutes past time certain for the open session. Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to entertain a motion to extend the open session by 15 minutes to see what,
so
what,
move, other, James.
What other work.
Second, Chris Corey.
Okay, are there any objections to that? Okay.
I object, Chair, because it seems like there's some committees that get priority, and the elections committee has been in the parking lot for a while.
We have to go to a vote. It takes a two-thirds vote to amend the agenda, so we have to go to a vote. Marion, could you please take the roll on extending the time for 15 minutes for the open session?
Yeah, it takes a second to do that and time. Okay. Chris Corey.
Yes.
Votes yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Vanessa?
I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. What are we voting on?
To extend time for 15 minutes.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Lyndon Foley.
Yes.
Votes yes. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Votes yes. Julie Hewitt.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sabrina Jacobs.
Yes.
Votes yes. Wally James.
Yes.
Votes yes. Dwayne Lark. Dwayne Lark. I hear nothing. Ali Lexa.
Abstain.
Abstains. Thomas O'Rourke.
Yes. Votes. Yes.
Lydia Ponce.
Por supuesto, yes.
Yes. Ron Pinchback.
Yep.
Votes yes. Ralph Pointer.
No.
Votes no. Okay. Sandra Rawline.
Yes.
Votes yes. Lawrence Reyes.
Present, not voting.
I think that's called an abstention. Sean Rowe.
No, it's not. It has to be noted as present, not voting, please.
It's an abstention.
Present. Okay. Duly noted. Sean Rhodes.
Abstain.
Abstains. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Votes yes. Beth Van Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Tom Voorhees.
Tom votes yes.
Votes yes. Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Dwayne Lark votes no.
Ah, we hear from Dwayne. Okay. Gotcha. Votes no. We have 1, 2. Oh, we had more than 2 no votes. But I'm only seeing 2. I see several abstentions and present not voting. 14 votes to extend and 2 votes not to extend. I believe that is a 2/3 majority.
We move on. We have a 15-minute extension. Okay, we have another motion from the Strategic Planning Committee to consider. Beth, that was your motion. Do you want to read it?
Sure. Thank you. Just a minute. I have to turn to it.
Okay, Beth's motion.
Well, it's from the committee, so it's not officially Beth's motion, but she was the one who suggested it to the committee.
Okay, and which committee are we talking? I'm sorry, I lost committees.
Strategic planning.
Strategic planning, okay.
If you want, Julie can read it if you're having trouble finding.
I've got it now.
Mr. Chair, point of information.
What is your point of information?
Our agenda states that we were to hear from finance and governance prior to strategic planning. Was that, am I misreading that?
I don't know what agenda you're looking at. That's not the one I have in front of me.
This is agenda for open session.
Yeah, Alex, my agenda reads the same.
Let me see. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing.
I think that underscores Lawrence's point.
In other words, do those committees waive their,
No, they didn't. Okay, that was a mistake on my part. Okay, we'll go to the Finance Committee then. I'm sorry about that. We'll go to the Finance Committee and the Governance Committee, and then we'll get back to the Strategic Planning Committee. Okay. We'll go immediately to the Finance Committee.
Chair, I just want to tell you the Governance Committee has no report. Please go to the Elections Committee in this place.
Well, we have the Finance Committee first. Go ahead. James?
Thank you, Chair. Trying to make this quick in the interest of time. I'll make a brief report. We're still in a continuing crisis at KPFK with revenues continuing at a very low rate. It's being addressed, hopefully, in the committees and elsewhere. But going on, we have two motions from the Finance Committee tonight. They're both budgets, one from WPFW and one for the Pacifica Affiliates Network. The budgets were sent around previously, but also at 8:30 tonight by Julia Kennard of NETA, our CFO, our upcoming CFO, so that everybody could find them easily. So if you go to 8:30, you'll see them, but the motion, the original motions passed by the NFC on January 18th were the NFC recommends to the PMB that they approve the Pacifica Affiliates Network draft fiscal year 22 budget as forwarded from the NFC. That passed 7-4 and 1 against. The second motion, well, I guess suppose we should do one at a time. So that's I translated that as a motion for the PMB to the PMB accepts and approves the Pacific Affiliates Network fiscal year 22 budget as recorded and presented by the NFC Secretary and reproduced in the agenda of this January 2022 meeting of the PMB.
Okay, we'll open the floor. Are there any questions or discussion?
Comments to the stack.
Chris to the stack.
Okay, Thomas. And Ron?
Was that James who spoke? James, I have an 8:30 from Crystal Ball. That includes a link to Julia Kennard, but there's no attachment. Could it be sent again?
I think, Julia, can you do that?
This is Paulina, everybody here. I forwarded Julia's email to the PNB from the secretary account at...
All right, I see it. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Okay. Chris?
Yes. So I'd like to offer an amendment to this this motion. I know that that'll be met with some chagrin from my fellow members of the NFC. But Kim had an objection to the way that the budget was drafted because it's footnoted rather than calling out some of the specific items. So this is the amendment that I'm suggesting. That we, I think Kim and I would both be happy to offer our approval of the budget along with the rest of the committee, of course, if the footnote would be integrated with the report. So instead of having the total P&O contributions in the expense section showing us 25,381 with a footnote, it should show the standard central services budgeted as $42,370 with a $16,988 credit put against the expenses that were taken out by the national office for, I believe, an interest payment, and then the remainder due being $25,981.69. I sent this in the form of an email to everybody, and it doesn't actually change the budget. It just changes how it reads. It's difficult to untangle those footnotes, particularly that one. And I think it's important for people to understand how much they're actually paying in central services. Thank you.
Move to extend.
We still have time for this. This is just this.
I think I heard Heather say time.
That was just for the individual.
It was individual time, James.
Chair, may I be heard?
Yeah, do you have any objection to changing the form of the budget?
Chair, I'm asking to be recognized?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I have no objection to that change. The only issue I ever had with it was if we had changed it after the committee approved the budget, it would have had to gone back to the committee. But since we're doing it here in the PMB, it's all good.
Yeah.
And this is fine.
Okay.
As Chris points out, it does not change anything in the budget. It just makes it easier to read. And we're trying to do that across the board with the budgets.
It is officially an amendment. So does anybody object to this amendment? I don't see any reason to. Okay. So nobody's objecting. So the amended version of the budget is now the new version of the budget. Does anybody object to the budget that's been presented from the Finance Committee? Okay, so that's approved. You have another motion, James?
Yes, this is the last one. Should again go quickly, I hope. The resolution from the NFC was the NFC recommends to the PMB that they approve the Pacifica affiliate. Oh, I'm sorry. The NFC recommends that the PMB approve the WPFW draft fiscal year 22 budget. This was passed without objection. The motion for the board is the PMB accepts and approves the WPFW fiscal year 22 budget as recorded and presented by the NFC secretary and reproduced in the agenda of this January 2022 meeting of the PMB.
Okay. Any discussion on this?
Alex, this is Paulina, point of personal privilege.
Okay, Paulina.
As what? Secretary. Yeah, I'm, I see a phone number, among us. It's a 909 number, ends in 4764. Just hoping to identify the person and name them in the meeting.
Stephanie? Would that be Stephanie?
That's what I'm thinking. That's the only person occurring to me. Stephanie, are you on the call? Does your number
yes,
end in 4764? Hi.
Hi. Is
your number
this is Stephanie Wells.
Hi, okay. Stephanie. Does your number end
Hello?
In 4764? Mm-hmm. Yes, great. Okay, renaming you. Thank you.
Hi, this is Stephanie Wells.
Well, welcome to the Pacifica National Board, Stephanie.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Hi.
Okay.
I have high hopes for Stephanie, but can we finish the vote on this budget before we welcome her?
Yes. Are there any objections to the WPFW budget as approved by the National Finance Committee? Okay. No objections. The motion is passed.
Welcome,
next.
Stephanie.
And are there any other motions from the Finance Committee, James?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Lawrence, is there any? I think you said before there was nothing from the Governance Committee. Is that true?
Yes, I would like the Elections Committee to finally come out of the parking lot. That's okay.
It's on the agenda.
Okay. Well, I'd like to put the Elections Committee in the place of the Governance Committee.
Okay, that's a motion. All right, I'll accept that as a motion. Does anybody want to second that motion? We still haven't finished the work of the Strategic Planning. We have yet to hear from the Personnel Committee, the Programming Committee, and
the Elections Committee is brief, Chair.
Okay.
I second.
All right. Are there any objections? Okay.
Remember, repeat the motion.
It's just a motion to hear from the Elections Committee before the other committees.
All right.
Okay. Okay, so who's going to present the motion from the Elections Committee or report from the Elections Committee?
I'd like to request that the Secretary read the motion, the germane clauses, if you will, please. And just to give you a snapshot, the Elections Committee will be submitting a final report in regards to the most recent delegate difficult elections that we had this year. So Janine and the committee voted unanimously to present this motion. Marianne, are you able to read the motion or?
I can try.
Okay, thank you.
I actually have it here. Okay. Whereas the review of the 2021 LSB election process by the PNB Election Committee has surfaced numerous systemic and widespread problems, many of which are confirmed in the NES report, whereas the committee's efforts are to provide its own assessment of areas of the process requiring attention and remedy for any future elections. Therefore, PNB Elections Committee affirms its previous motion passed by the PNB unanimously on 9/13/21, instructing the IED to provide to the PNB and the Election Committee the on-air traffic reports from all five stations from the 2021 LSB election cycle, 8/1/21 to 10/15/21, to be forwarded no later than 1/21/22. That's a little tricky. As well as the additional items requested by the election committee, and the list is simply voting report, including itemized bounce back and unopened lists for each station manager, station reports from managers on their efforts to have an accurate membership contact list, list of submitted ballot requests with what actions were taken to remedy, list of call-in complaints with what actions were taken to remedy, reports from the LES, and to instruct the IED to communicate with the entire listener membership to determine whether or not they understand the election of governance, whether, I assume that's a typo of, it should be or not, they heard aired informational carts, whether or not they heard aired candidate carts, whether or not they received their ballots, whether or not they experienced difficulty in voting, and whether or not they have suggestions for the process.
Chair? Okay. I'd like to speak on this.
Hold on, Chair, if I could just add to that real quick. The reason why it's a 121 day, because we, as a committee, submitted this report and this motion 2 weeks ago, which we didn't get to. So I like to modify that, and I like to say the beginning of February, if possible, that those items be submitted to the Elections Committee. And I do also understand, Chair, that you have requested director's inspection in regards to some of these matters as well. Thank you.
Actually, I have not about the election, but about the bylaws amendment process.
Mr. Chair, the point of order. The secretary failed to read the final clause.
I got interrupted.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I'm going to finish. Thank you.
Go ahead.
The PC also strongly suggests that the PNB ensure the NES report is available for the public on Pacifica.org, not through a three-party website. I think you meant third party. And that the candidate statements and carts remain, missing the word, on the site. Excuse me. Until the term ends of the candidates. The EC also requests the NES contract to determine delineation of responsibility of NES versus IED in election process. As the bylaws state, IED, quote, facilitate the NES work is vague.
Okay, I'd like to comment on this. I think there are multiple and huge problems with this motion. First being the opening statement that claims all sorts of terrible things happen in the elections without any evidence to support it. Second thing is I have no problem with reaffirming a previous motion by the PNB, but then this motion goes on to ask us to ask our third-party vendors for all kinds of extra information and materials, and that will likely cost Pacifica some money. We don't know how much, and I don't see any reason for it. We've had a really thorough report from the National Election Supervisor, much more thorough than anything I've seen from the Elections Committee, and fact-based, I must add. So I just think there are too many problems with this report. I would urge the body to simply reject it.
Chair, may I be recognized?
Chair, we are past time.
Okay.
We passed our extension.
Either extend time, or
I'd like to extend time for 2 minutes so I could respond to what you just said, Chair.
We either extend time
20 seconds
and allow other committees to present their reports, or we, we're not going to do that in 2 minutes. Does somebody want to?
I support that.
May I be recognized?
I support another 15 minutes, Chair, for all the committees, yeah.
Okay, do we have a second for that?
Second.
Okay. Are there any objections to extending the open session for another 15 minutes? Okay, hearing none. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. So, again, we have not submitted our final report where we gathered, for lack of a better word, testimony, if you will, from various stakeholders, listeners. As you know, the Elections Committee was a committee that operated outside of the box. We would have discussions by the Election Committee members, and then we will go to the public, and the public represented all five stations in the network, and they provided testimony in regards to supporting this motion. And the final report that's going to be coming out probably next week. So we like to amend the 21st day to either the 25th. And again, I know it's a laundry list, whatever's feasibly possible and that's cost effective. I want to make that a point. So I guess that would be, left up to, our new ED, Stephanie Wells, and, to see what's reasonable and what's realistic and what's measurable. Thank you.
Okay.
This is Lydia to the stack.
Lydia.
Ron to the stack.
Yeah, Lydia.
James with an inquiry.
We have had a long-standing policy. I guess I could go and try to look up the motion that you have to attach how much this is going to cost. You can't just leave it on cost effective. It needs to have a dollar amount in it. You can certainly ask the IED what she would be paying the election supervisor to make the changes in there. And it's unlikely that now that we are out of contract with the balloting companies that they would put themselves out and not charge us to do more if they were willing to do it, which is unlikely. And it's not that I don't realize that there are irregularities in every election, things that fall through the cracks and so forth. And but I do think that that this is an unworkable motion. It's very lengthy. It has very many parts. I would focus on one aspect of it that actually has to do with something that you are considering to amend in the upcoming elections, for example, and then use what material you found to back that up. That's what I would do. I personally, as much as I favor, you know, looking into elections and being as transparent as we can, I think that the motion needs some work and broken down and rethought. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Thomas to the stack.
James with an inquiry.
James.
Ron to the.
Okay, James has an inquiry. What is your inquiry, James?
Yeah, excuse me. The inquiry has got a couple of parts, but one is this for the election committee or is this for the, I think the election committee had a subcommittee or a working group or something attached to it that had a lot of people on it that were not directors. And I hear in the motion a list of items that you're requesting that would involve revealing membership contact information and identity information that I think the California law has protections against. So I think those aspects of the motion would be suitable only if it was to be dealt with by directors only.
Chair,
that's an inquiry. It's about the law and about who it's going to, Lawrence.
Okay, so that's a question. The legalese, I will leave that to Arthur. In regards to, we had a task force that was populated, a task force that reported to the committee. Everything that we are asking for, if it's going to be, if it's going to incur costs, I'm talking about what's already in our hands, the data that's in our hands that the National Election Supervisor should be able to provide. And in regards to the legal leads and the legal aspect, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a social worker. So I will leave that up to Arthur to answer.
Yeah, that was directed to anybody who happens to know. Thank you, Lawrence.
Ron, to the stack.
Ron, go ahead.
Listen,
I just picked one
the date,
point.
Changing the date on this from the 21st to the 25th is not going to solve the issue. You presented a laundry list, and you even admitted it was a laundry list, of things that you want the GMs and other station staff to pull together for, you know, for what, to compare it with the report that Renee gave us. And I don't know how to put it. Don't make remarks while I'm talking.
Maybe you can suggest a date. You've been doing it all night, Mr. Pitchback.
No. I'm not suggesting a date. I'm suggesting that the whole thing be rewritten. Because you look at that laundry list of things that you want these GMs to do. They got enough on their plate. Okay? And is that the best use of their time right now? Okay? You have to weigh that too. So it's the human resource factor involved here that's going to be required to get all that information. So I'm going to ask the board members to reject this, go back to the table, you know, or come up with your final report, you know, and then, you know, put something on the table. But
time is up.
That's all I have to say.
Mr. Chair, O'Rourke. I have a question for the maker offer of the motion. I will admit I have not read much of the election report, but is any of this information contained in what you already have or what we already have regarding an election report? And wouldn't it behoove us in the future to have in a contract some sort of laundry list of a checklist of things? So that they know going in, this is that certainly should be considered for next year. Something that amends the contract to say we're going to want a report that looks like this and shows efforts to verify voting lists, efforts to service the public who want to vote, et cetera, et cetera. But the question to you, Lawrence, is how much of this stuff is already in their report? We'll start with that.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Chair, may I respond quickly?
Make it brief. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So I think a start, colleagues, is to reaffirm and to stand by what you voted to approve. So that was the reaffirmation of the resolution that you, the PMB, passed. So I think that's something that's where we could start. We could start there because that's not a laundry list. That was a very measured motion that I believe passed almost without objection. So we could start there. And then in regards to the other points you made, Ms. O'Rourke, those will be taken to the committee on Friday. Thank you. And you're more than welcome to attend.
Okay, I'd just like to make a remark before we vote on this. I find the very first sentence is incredibly objectionable. It says, whereas the review of the 21 LSB election process by the PNB Elections Committee has surfaced numerous systemic and widespread problems, many of which are confirmed in the NAS report. This is completely untrue. The NAS report was an exhaustive analysis of the 2020 LSB elections. Was it perfect? No. There were some problems. The NES reported on all those problems, but I certainly wouldn't characterize it as numerous systemic and widespread problems. It almost sounds like we had an illegitimate election. And I know there are people in and around Pacifica who would love to say that our elections are not legitimate, and I'm not going to be one of them. I think this motion is, I mean, I usually try to help committees get motions approved by the board, but I think this one has just got too many problems. I would suggest that just be, you go back to the committee and come up with something more workable. I would suggest we just simply reject it at this time.
Could I say something?
Arthur's had this for a while.
Arthur, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, this is Sandra. I would like to comment if I get the opportunity.
Sure. Okay, I'll put you on the stack, but let's hear from Arthur.
I want to say one factual thing.
Lydia, I'd like to be stacked as well.
Sure. Go ahead.
One factual thing, and that's that the National Election Supervisor's contract is over, so you would have to pay her more money to do all this work. she's finished, right? It's over. But second of all, what Alex just said is really important. We are in court with Jan Goodman and Beth Keen and New Day Pacifica, which is all of the same, those two are the whole thing, claiming that the election at KPFK should be either redone or people that they are complaining for should be installed as the LSB officers, and that all the board members elected by the LSB from KPFK be recalled. Any resolution that says what this says is just inviting success on their behalf as we are about to annihilate them.
Okay, thank you, Arthur. Anybody
Chair,
else?
We are out of time.
Oh, we're out of time. Okay, let's... are we out of time for the whole open session, are you saying?
Yes.
Okay, again, we need... to extend if we're going to continue the open session. Does somebody want to make a motion to extend for 10 minutes?
Beth moves to extend for 10 minutes.
Okay, do we have a second on that?
Second. James.
Okay, are there any objections to extending the open session for another 10 minutes? Okay, I would urge that we complete the discussion on this item as soon as possible. If you don't have anything new to say, I would urge that we just go to a vote. Does anybody think they have something new to say on this?
Chair, I thought you recommended that we take it back to the committee.
Well, I did, but you presented it to the board, so we have to vote on it at this point.
Mr. Chair, can I be on the stack, or am I still on the stack?
You may speak, but try to be mindful that we want to move things along. Go ahead, Sandra.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to remind everybody, and I don't know how much institutional knowledge folks have, but from the jump, from the very first time we had an election, there were questions about who got ballots and who didn't. And in my mind, this is a no-brainer. If you are a foundation like Pacifica and you have people who donate money, there should be a record of who has donated, when they donated, how much they donated, and that they are a qualified voter and that they should receive a ballot for any election. Myself, I have been excluded from ballots for the last 3 or 4 election cycles now. I had to write in and request a ballot. Oftentimes, I had to do it multiple times in order to actually get a ballot and vote. So that is a serious error in the foundation's policies and procedures regarding valid voters.
Okay.
That needs to be addressed and corrected.
Sandra,
thank you.
Let me just, it's not really about this motion, but let me just respond to you. The National Election Supervisor.
This is Dwayne Lark. I'm calling for a point of order.
150-page report in which she does go into extensive detail on certain recommendations to reform our process for recording those who contributed and who was eligible to get a ballot. So that's actually in the National Election Supervisor's report. I didn't read every word of it. It's a huge document. It's a very thorough and comprehensive analysis of the election. Okay, let's go to a vote, folks. Madam Recording Secretary, could you please take the roll?
Mr. Chair, I've been asking for the floor. You allow Sandra to speak.
And I was on staff.
So I should have the opportunity to speak.
Okay, go ahead,
Dwayne. I've been calling for a stack.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Now, I think Sandra just underscored an impropriety that she experienced. I don't think questioning a ballot process is admitting that we have serious issues and improprieties in our election process. So we shouldn't complicate those two. The fact that there are others who have claimed they have not received ballots. There's others who have claimed that they were excluded or they were disqualified, not properly. But I think we should be able to balance having a ballot process that is not fair and is not proper, as opposed to acknowledging impropriety that may, in Sandra's case and others I've heard at KPFT and other places, that there's a consistency of discrepancy. So the question is, how do we make the process better and more equitable? And I agree that this matter likely should be referred to the Governor's Committee, and I have confidence that the Governor's Committee can get issues addressed and can get suggestions out. The question is whether or not this body will accept and act on the committee's report.
Okay, Lydia, you're next.
Yes, I was one of the candidates that never heard my own cart, and we getting the air traffic reports would definitely be evidence. And it's only for the corrections of this particular process. Elections are very important, as we all know. I just, you know, I lost. And I think, I don't even think the five or six people who told me they voted for me even were reported or recorded. So, yeah, I didn't hear actually any of the carts. So it's not just myself. So, and speaking for truth and power for people, I think that we need to correct this. This is a very serious thing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's go to a vote. I really want to get...
This is Beth with a motion to return it to the committee. Please.
I'm sorry. We have to vote on it.
I second. A motion is always in order, Chair.
No, we have to... You present...
As the chair suggested... This is Beth with a motion to return it to the committee in light of the advice we've just gotten from Arthur.
I don't believe that's correct. I think we have to vote on it since it was brought before the board.
Well, Chair, that's a ruling, and things that always get referred back. So I will challenge your ruling, Chair. I would ask for an interpretation from Mr. Tatum. Okay.
Mr. Tatum, what is your opinion about this?
It just is a matter of time. If you're out of time, no more motions can be made. But if you're still within your time frame, then additional motions can be made if the person is properly recognized.
No, that's not what this is about. This is a motion brought by a committee before the board. Individuals do not have a right to decide for the committee that they want to return the motion all of a sudden. Only the committee could do that. The committee voted to present this motion to the board. I think the board has to vote on it or dispose of it in some way.
I would say that the board has the power to tell the committee that this motion needs more work. They can reject it, they can amend it, they can remand it back to the committee Absolutely. Yeah, they can send it back if you're not out of time.
Okay. Do you want to make an amendment to remand this motion back to the committee?
It would be a motion. It would not be an amendment. It would be
a motion. Chair, Beth made the motion and I seconded it.
Okay.
So moved.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Do we have, are there any objections to remand this motion back to the committee? Okay. Then that's done. Okay. We go
that
on.
That concludes my report, Chair, from the elections committee. Thank you.
That concludes the elections committee. We do have unfinished business with the Strategic Planning Committee.
You have 2 minutes.
We have 2 minutes. Okay. Well, let's see what we can
do. I seek recognition to extend, on top of those 2 minutes, another 4 minutes, make it six.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Those last items on the agenda, are they time sensitive? I mean, we need to go into it.
Let me ask Lydia. Lydia, do we have some time-sensitive issues to deal with in closed session that cannot wait?
No, I think it's all been discussed in open session.
Okay. Yeah, I mean.
Well, let's just stay in open session.
Right. Okay. There's no need.
Well, there are some issues in closed session that I wanted to get to. I guess, I don't know if we'll have a chance tonight, but let's continue an open session. So we have a motion to extend for how long?
15 minutes.
15 minutes. Do we have a second for that?
I second, Lawrence.
In the closed session, I have a motion that I have a request for permission that I pose to the board.
We definitely will need to go into closed session, so keep that in mind. Okay, we're going to extend for 15 minutes, and we'll see what we can get.
I was objecting. I was suggesting 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay.
I second that.
10 minutes sounds reasonable.
Well, I have a second with the 15 minutes, and I'd like to ask the question.
That's
before
an amendment.
We start arguing on that. Where is the motion, and where are we relative to the motion that Lawrence put forth that we spent 35 minutes on debating whether or not it should be put on the agenda?
That's on the new business. After we
and where is that relative to where we are now? I'm driving, so I can't.
After we finish
that.
Committee reports.
So that's why I need 15 minutes so we can get to that motion.
It's a long way away.
If we get to it, we'll get to it. That's all I can say. Okay.
Well, of course.
Okay, strategic planning. Okay, we have a motion. We have a motion for 15 minutes. Are there any objections for a 15-minute extension? Okay, hearing none, we are going to have another 15-minute extension. We have another motion that we didn't get to hear from the Strategic Planning Committee. Beth or whoever wants to read it, please read it.
Thank you. I'm ready.
Go ahead.
This is Beth. Yes. Motion to the PNB to establish the Pacifica National Emergency Management Work Group. Whereas our world faces a future of unprecedented uncertainty and sudden, compelling, urgent need, and whereas Pacifica is the custodian of invaluable public resources and a legacy of public service, and whereas Pacifica is strategically positioned to provide critical public communication services in times of greatest need, and whereas Pacifica recognizes and prioritizes the responsibility to be prepared to provide robust, resilient, comprehensive emergency communication in all circumstances, including most specifically in disaster conditions, therefore, be it resolved that the Pacifica Radio Foundation establish the Pacifica National Emergency Management Work Group to support the entire Pacifica community in all phases of emergency management and to provide for the survival and robust resilience of Pacifica Radio operations through any and all adverse conditions, to prepare Pacifica to be of greatest possible service to the community as a whole throughout the times of greatest need and beyond. The Emergency Management Work Group shall maintain an active, ongoing emergency management process, adequate, up-to-date, documented emergency response plans at each Pacifica facility and for the organization as a whole, adequate supplies and equipment to meet any identified need, Pacifica facilities, and maintain Pacifica facilities in compliance with all pertinent laws, regulations, Pacifica bylaws and policies, and the National Incident Management System, and shall make every effort to assure that Pacifica is in all other ways adequately prepared. The Emergency Management Work Group shall consist of representatives of senior management, financial management, representation from the PNB, key technical and operational staff at each Pacifica operational unit, and volunteers and advisors with pertinent expertise as necessary. The Emergency Management Work Group shall meet regularly on an ongoing basis and report regularly to the PNB. Thank you.
Okay, I'll take a stack. Who wants to be on the stack?
I'd like a moment to motivate it, if I may, please.
Sure.
Does that have to be seconded?
I'd like to be on the stack too, Chair Lawrence.
Okay. I heard Ron, I heard Lawrence, but go ahead, Beth, make your motion.
Our question was, does it have to be seconded?
No, it's from a committee.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll be on the stack also.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. This is something I've worked on all year. It's something I work on a lot in other life, my pre-Pacifica life. It's absolutely necessary, and I know from the preliminary work I've done within Pacifica that we're in great need of much more preparation than we have, and that it's beyond the scope of what paid staff can handle. I'm hoping this will turn out to be one of those motherhood and apple pie things that we can all get behind, because it's here for all of us. It's necessary in that there are certain requirements, both at the federal and the California state level, that we need to work on. And this would provide the opportunity to do that. Thank you.
Okay.
After Ron or whoever else, James with a question.
Okay. Ron, I got Ron, Lawrence, and then you, James.
Mr. Chair, this is Sandra. Can you please add me to the stack? Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Ron.
Just want to say, Beth, that's great work. Great concept. You know, it's flexible enough that, you know, we can integrate it, you know, without a lot of rigmarole. So I support that, and congratulations. That's a good piece of work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thomas to the stack.
All right, Thomas. Okay, Lawrence, you were next on the stack.
Yeah, thank you. And I saw Beth labor in this process on a local level with, you know, doing the work. And so I just want to acknowledge you, Beth, for having traveled this role with you and just looking at the way you moved it forward, and you brought it here finally, doing your due diligence. I'm definitely going to support this motion, because all of those elements that you mentioned are very critical, not only to Pacifica, but to the world we live in right now that is in peril. So thank you. We are living in a planet. We are living on Earth, and we need to definitely forge ahead and come up with these kind
and
of critical.
A committee brings a report to the board.
John,
you got to mute yourself.
Yeah. Okay, Jay. So I urge my colleagues. I think we should pass this motion without objection. Thank you.
James, you're next on the stack.
Okay, yeah, I agree with the previous speakers. I think we should support this without objection. I just wanted to remember that there is money available in some of this for strengthening critical infrastructure. We're considered critical infrastructure in emergency management in case of natural disaster and such. As Beth has pointed out elsewhere, we've already experienced some, Hurricane Sandy, the fire that almost took Mount Wilson out. You know, we could get the big one in California at any time. We had the flooding in Houston. So this is something we need to be prepared for. There's government money in it for us. And I would wanted to ask Beth, what are the requirements? What requirements does the government put on us as an FCC licensee to be ready to provide this kind of information? No, we do the emergency alert system. What else do they require?
There is more, the minimal requirements are minimal, but especially with my home station, KPFK, we have the strongest signal west of the Mississippi. We cover the area from the Mexican border up to Point Conception beyond Santa Barbara. That's a lot. And we're in a position to communicate with more people than anybody else out here. And that's a moral obligation right there. The FCC requires any facility to have emergency response written, prepared emergency response plans in place and exercised. I'm looking forward to the day when we do. I'll work on that myself and with anybody else who wants to put their heads together for that. FEMA has money on the scale of the PPB money. If we get our ducks in a row, if we get our house in order, there's significant money out there that could really beef up our infrastructure. We have at least a couple of generations of delayed maintenance, I suspect, probably at all stations, and this could help remedy that.
Chris to the stack, I had a question.
We have a stack already. Okay, Sandra's next, then Thomas, then Chris. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is one of those ideas that has been brought forth by a very committed and valued member of Pacifica, who wants to help make things better. And it should be without question that we do everything we can to serve in our full capacity as a radio signals in five major market areas to help protect, provide, and do the best for our communities. So, yeah, without any question, this is something that needs to be further explored and implemented to its fullest capacity. And thank you, Beth.
Okay, Thomas, thank you're next.
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. And who offered this motion? Was it Beth? Okay, in L.A.
I'm
sort of surprised to hear that statement about the reach of L.A.'s signal because – that there's no other stations that could reach that, but that's fine. My question is the emergency isn't defined in this, are you just sticking to I do see disaster conditions. So you're talking about physical, weather type emergencies, not declaration of martial law or something like that. We're talking about disaster response and beefing up network infrastructure in order to continue to communicate during disasters, right?
Well, we're definitely talking about those physical material disasters, but there are most emergency management explicitly covers other less easily defined emergencies too, like there's a growing threat from cyber attacks and people taking out the grid or taking out.
Well, that would be my other question, Beth. Sorry to interrupt, but my last question, which is who do you envision as declaring emergencies in this?
That's a good question. We can declare our own emergency. I mean, we would, what part of the process of writing an emergency response plan is that in that document, you have to explain what you mean by emergency. And each individual station, I mean, if there's a fire and you have to evacuate, that is an emergency. And, but it would, we'd have the, all of that would be defined in the documentation. All of that documentation would be presented to the PNB. I don't have anything in mind but to stick within classic standard best practices within emergency management. I'm fortunate to be out here in California where we get so much practice that we tend to be on the cutting edge of developing best practices because we get so much practice. I've been through the community emergency response team training, and that prompted me to get my ham radio license, and that's all been like 10, 15 years ago. So it got me in the loop, and it's just I've evacuated from some of the fires we've had around here. I've studied what the response has been from all the nonprofit radio stations around and who I'd like to emulate, who rises and who falls. And aside from the funding that can be available and aside from the actual practical value of saving lives, there's the fact that if in an emergency, when the internet goes down, because it will, it's not nearly as robust as broadcast radio. That's when people may not have been listening to broadcast radio for quite a while, but they'll go digging around in the trunk of their car or the back of the drawers in the kitchen or wherever they have to come up with a little receiver, and then they'll search the dial. And if in that hour of need, they find us for the first time, you can bet that they're never, ever going to forget. They will turn to us again and again and again. I've seen a couple of radio stations around here leapfrog over themselves in because they managed the fires well, because people knew that if they turned to those stations, they could get real-time live, practical, usable information. And I've seen others just sink. And so I'd like to get us
Before
the lights go out. I'd like to get it. Thank you.
Okay. Chris, you're next.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to speak out in support of this motion too. I found Beth to be an unusual person in this organization in that she's very focused on risk analysis within the organization, which I think is extremely useful. I think most people are risk averse and therefore they don't like thinking about this stuff. But Beth has spent quite a bit of time, and I find her proposals to be extremely detailed and well thought out. She obviously has done her homework and really considered all the aspects of this. She's also had some helpful suggestions with regard to legal issues, which I think is really good. So she's quite detailed. This proposal has been kicking around for the better part of a year. It was brought to strategic planning for the fundraising angle. So Beth has also been focused on how this could not only be self-funding, but might actually be cash positive to the organization, which is an unusual aspect of working for a nonprofit that is really in need of a coherent plan. there are various stations that have pieces of a plan, and there are some stations that don't have anything. So getting this systemic throughout the organization, I think would not only be a benefit to our listeners, to the organization, but could also be a source of revenue. So I appreciate Beth's work on this, and I approve this motion. Thank you.
We were in the chair. Can I make one last comment? 30 seconds, 10 seconds.
I want, go ahead, but I wanted to say something. Go ahead.
Beth, I just wanted to encourage you to add to your list of possible emergencies, the threat of violence, insurrection. The radio stations like ours would be, you know, ground zero for groups like that. So, and the community needs us during, especially in a time like that. So
I did say martial law, Ron, didn't I?
I know what you said, but martial law and insurrection is a whole different thing.
Mm, okay. Martial law could be used against us.
That's definitely.
From KPFT, take our word. We'll be the first people bombed.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding.
There's the KPFT is no threat.
Okay, I wanted to say one thing.
Been bombed twice.
As the chair of the Strategic Planning Committee, I was very happy.
Same thing.
I was very happy to see this motion from Beth, and I support it completely. It's not simply that this is a fundraising angle. It's part of the mandate of the Strategic Planning Committee to really have a vision for Pacifica as a whole, and it doesn't begin and end with its finances, by the way. One thing is, don't think that this is something peculiar to the West Coast. WBAI, our New York station, had an event called Hurricane Sandy about 10 years ago. We were had to abandon our studio. And the building we were in, which was then on Wall Street, had the first floor and more than that was completely flooded. And we had people that were left in the studio for 3 days until they were able to get out of there. All power to those brave souls who risked so much in order to keep us on the air. As a matter of fact, we did not lose, or we hardly lost any airtime. I don't remember exactly. Definitely emergency preparedness is something that every single one of our stations has to be aware of and taught and learn about. So this motion couldn't come at a better time. Okay, can we go to
Dwayne Lark?
Can we go to a vote on this?
Dwayne Lark.
Okay, Mr. Lark,
I'll be very brief because obviously this motion could have been voted up 10 minutes ago. But the allusion to the facts of KPFT being bombed twice, that's not true. KPFT's, their studio has never been bombed. Its antenna and its transmitter was bombed once, just for the fact, and as far as being a threat to any cycle of violence or what have you, you have to be very avant-garde like you were in the 70s and 80s, speaking truth to power. And we certainly don't do that across the board, across Pacifica, specifically KPFT. So I don't believe it's at any threat of being bombed.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, this is Sandra.
Sandra,
show the vote.
Sandra, you should
call the vote.
I call the question, I would just like to go on record with the previous speaker's remarks as being irrelevant.
Okay.
You're irrelevant.
Let's go to a vote. Are there any objections to this motion from the Strategic Planning Committee about emergency preparedness? Okay. Hearing none, the motion is adopted. Thank you. Okay. The next item is, I think the Programming Committee is next. Do we have something from the Programming Committee?
Chair, we are past out of time for the fourth time.
We're past out of time. Then,
and I'm going to object. I will object.
Okay.
To any extension.
I didn't know we were past out of time. Then we have to then adjourn and go to the closed session because we do have some items in closed session, and it's almost midnight. It's 10 minutes to midnight.
Chair, I just reminded the program committee sponsored Lydia's motion or it came through her motion. So that's all we had.
Chair, this is Paulina. The programming committee has a motion on programming for missing and murdered Black women, and that's been on the agenda for 2 weeks. But I suppose it'll have to.
I think we're out of time. I think you'll have to take it up at the next meeting, which will be the inaugural meeting of the 2020.
Yeah. Lawrence, I encourage you to take your motion up at the next meeting as well.
Okay.
I intend to.
Let's go to, do we need a motion to adjourn to go into closed session?
Chair, may I make a brief request? I'm sorry, James.
I move that we adjourn.
I can make a brief request that new business becomes old business, right?
I second the adjournment.
So that'd be on the top of the list, right, Chair?
That's just normal practice. Let's go to, okay, are there any objections to an adjournment?